The OTB Podcast Network. With Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.
Well, the biggest story, one of the biggest stories in the country at the moment, and that's the situation with COVID and what role or otherwise the GAA will play in the rollout of vaccinations, and can we have a league without vaccinated players? Jamie Wall is with us this morning to talk to us about this. Jamie, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, Jar. How are you?
Yeah, good. Look, this is obviously a fairly complex issue, or else it's not. It's either very simple or it's very complicated. And we might try and tease out as much as we can. So John Fogarty wrote a very interesting column yesterday, thought-provoking column in The Examiner, which the lads were talking about on the show last night as well. And we just wanted to see an alternative view. One of John's core points is essentially that if we're going to ask GAA players to go out and risk themselves again for the gaiety of the nation, then maybe we should protect them. And maybe they should be given vaccines, or maybe they should be bumped up the queue a little bit so that they could do that safely. What's your take on where we are with this at the moment, do you think?
Well, look, like you said, it's as complicated or as simple a question as you kind of want it to be. Look, like, first of all, like, as far as I'm concerned, it is quite a simple question and answer. Like, the answer is no. Like, but I suppose if you want to tease it out, there was, like you said, it was a thought-provoking column, like, and I think the headline possibly misled a small bit in the kind of the outrage mob on me on Twitter and stuff, like, where it was like, absolutely not, no way, but it was actually kind of more just asking the questions about around it. Like, I suppose, like, I want to kind of approach it in as sensible a way as possible. Like, I mean, first of all, look, like, right now, you know, the leagues and that, it's just a non-runner at the moment with things the way they are. And I think anybody, no matter how big a sports person you are in Ireland, like, would have to say that right now, you know, things are far too serious for us to think about, you know, getting on with games, etc. And then I suppose that brings you on to, you know, whether it'll be safe to play leagues without players being vaccinated. And if you are going to, like you said, roll them out for the gaiety of the nation, which is a great line, if you are, you know, should they be protected? And I suppose, look, like, that's probably the hardest one really to argue with in terms of in its own right. You know, if you are going to roll them out, should they be protected? Absolutely. Like, if you're going to do that, I suppose for me, the answer to that is that, like, you know, if you can't play games, if the situation, I mean, last year, first of all, I just want to go on record and say last year was, the championship was very enjoyable. I personally didn't think it was going to go ahead at the start. I was kind of hesitant about the whole thing, and the GAA and, you know, the powers that be rolled out a really entertaining and really worthwhile championship, and I think we did all get something out of it. Do I think it's something we absolutely needed and couldn't have done without? No. But it's great that we didn't have to do it out. So, you know, I do want to say that. I suppose when it comes to, you know, playing the leagues and playing sport and all that, like, I suppose if it's not safe to roll this out without vaccinating our players, and if the trade-off for vaccinating them is vaccinating them ahead of elderly people, vulnerable people, nurses, doctors, teachers, creche workers, any of them, and it's a guarantee, it's a long list of people.
That's the question. Well, that's the question, isn't it, Jamie? Let's say you get to the guards, right? And then you get to, I would argue, supermarket workers and anybody who's been going about their work since this started and hasn't been working from home. But then you get to people who have been working from home. Maybe that's the cutoff point. Were you deemed an essential worker up to this point? Were you working from home? Or where you're not working from home, then get them all vaccinated. But after that, if there's like a hierarchy, then maybe you do start thinking, okay, well, what's, like, assuming creche workers are done, assuming teachers are done, assuming, and at the moment, they're kind of way down the list. We're kind of seeing the benefit of the role that they play in our society at the moment with everything completely in lockdown. Like, is there a conversation to be had around, okay, actually, you know what, maybe for the month of March, April, May, it might be nice for us if we are going to continue to be locked down, which, who knows?
Yeah, like maybe, Jer, but, like, I suppose the problem again, and, like, look, like, I don't know enough about supply chain management or vaccination rollout to have an opinion here, there, or anywhere on the speed or lack thereof of the vaccines being rolled out, right? But what I do know is that, like, it is taking time. Now, in time to come, that could be proven to be the absolute right call or the wrong call, I don't know. But timing is huge, like, and, like, if you want to take, like, what happened, unfortunately, in the last 2 weeks in a nursing home in Laois, like, where, you know, like, people are scheduled to get a vaccine and it's really important, like, now they can't get the vaccine because of that outbreak, and that's all very unfortunate. But the point I suppose that I'm trying to make is that, like, if you kick people down the list by a week or 2 weeks, like, all of a sudden that week could be the week that they're exposed to risk, like. And I suppose, look, you can flip that over on its head and apply it to intra-county players and apply it to people, like, but like you said, like, there's a huge list of people who are going on about their business. Like you said, supermarket workers who I didn't think of, but, like, when you say it out loud, I'm kind of like, duh, do you know? Like, there's a huge list, and we're a million miles off getting all of those people vaccinated. Like, and even, you know, look, even in the wider scheme of things, with the last 12 months that we've had in terms of, you know, the economy is shutting down, but people's businesses being massively, massively affected. Like, I'd be personally uncomfortable with us putting entertainment ahead of people's livelihoods, you know? Like, I know some people have been working from home, but I also know that the working from home side of things has severely impacted people's ability to do their work. I mean, like, think about it again, the construction industry, like I'm not coming on here swinging a kind of a thing for the developers. What I'm saying is, all the construction workers that go and work for those developers and go work for, you know, work on the ground of these things. Like, basically, Ger, like, what I'm saying is that maybe there is a conversation to be had when you get way down that list. But unfortunately, it's way down that list, and we're probably not getting quickly down the list enough to really have that conversation. I mean, like, if somebody's, like, you get into the conversation then of essential workers, right? And you're classing them as essential workers, but, like, the bottom line is, like, they're not workers. Like, the workers get paid, like, do you know? So, like, look, like I said at the start, it's something that I would love if we were in a position to vaccinate the lads and enjoy our games in peace. But for me, the actual solution is, and, you know, like, this isn't me trying to be doom and gloom, by the way, I'm very hopeful that, you know, we will get on top of things, but for me, the simple fact is, last year they were able to safely run off, you know, championships. Generally speaking, we were able to safely run off championships, and they were really, really good. If we can't safely run off championships without bumping guys up queues to positions where they otherwise shouldn't be, then the answer isn't for me bumping them up a queue. The answer is, you know, you have to go without for a couple of more weeks. And that's kind of, you know, that's always been my position on it. I really do hope that by March, April, that the country will be in a place where we can safely have the games irrespective of this decision, and, you know, where we can safely make a start even back into games irrespective of this decision. But right now, in the context of everything that's happening, in the context of, you know, I think 46 people recorded deaths yesterday, there was 46 recorded deaths yesterday, in the context of the numbers of cases, this ICU in Cork, to the best of my knowledge, is full. Like, in the context of all this that's going around, personally, I think while it may be a discussion worth having, it's the timing and the tone of it is just, it's a little bit, it makes me a little bit uncomfortable personally.
It's an interesting one then, Jamie, if we get into this other realm of the GAA players as influencers, almost, or not necessarily influencers in the modern phrase of the word, but people who have an influence on other members of society in a good way.
Like, I think their holidays to Ibiza or anything, or
Dubai. Dubai is the one.
Yeah, Dubai, I think, is the new one. Yeah.
Like, this is the other element of what John Fogarty was writing about in his piece, and it's an interesting one. This idea that there could be a positive behavioural impact on other people who perhaps are unsure of taking a vaccine when they actually see a local hero of theirs taking it. Do you buy that?
It's a fair point. Like, I mean, like, it's very hard for me to totally, you know, piss all over it. Like, because, like, I wouldn't have the kind of the evidence to back it up. Like, I suppose the flip side, I suppose, that I could throw at you is there are enough essential workers in that cohort of players that you don't need to bump the entire playing population up the list unfairly at the expense of someone else. Like, I mean, Brian Fenton is a physiotherapist. He was in Bournemouth the last I knew. You know, up to very recently, you had Jack McCaffrey, a doctor. I would say 90% of the playing population are teachers of some form. So an awful lot of them, well, maybe 90 is a bit of a stretch, but you have an awful lot of teachers in that. I don't think you need to be vaccinating entire panels ahead of. And like I said, again, it's the issue is when you get into, it's all really good to say, like, let's vaccinate these players, but it's a case of, like, you know, there's a queue there, like, so, you know, who's the person who's getting bumped down that queue? Like, is it someone's mother, someone's father, someone's aunt, someone's uncle? But I suppose, look, the idea of them being positively influencing young people or positively influencing even older people, you know, when it comes to the vaccine. And I think John referenced Mick O'Keefe's from Tenio's tweet about CEOs, you know, showing leadership and that. Like, and it's a fair point. Like, I do take that on board. But, you know, like the I suppose the counter argument that I would make to that is, yeah, like, we don't need to be vaccinating an entire panel to achieve that effect. If that's the effect you're going for, then, you know, you've got key workers within those panels. I'm 90% sure every panel has a couple of key workers, you know, when it comes to trying to positively influence, you know, vaccine uptake in that county. Like, I think that would be a far more prudent and maybe, you know, less, I suppose it would be a solution that would probably have the optics of it would be better, basically, is just what I'm trying to say.
Do you think that the leagues can viably go ahead in February and March the way they're scheduled at the moment? And you talked about the mood music and the tone of things at the moment. You know, inter-county panels aren't supposed to be training. We obviously saw that some have been gathering, and that was a bit stupid. But do you think that the leagues can realistically go ahead as scheduled at the moment?
As scheduled, probably not. I would imagine there'll be a delay. I think there'll be a delay of sorts. How much that delay is just obviously depends entirely on you know, how things go over the next 2-3 weeks. You know, in fairness, I come out swinging at the GAA a lot about things, but in fairness to them, I genuinely think from the very off with the pandemic, I genuinely think they've done quite well. I think at the start, I said that I think I was chatting to Yi here, and I said that I thought the GAA did really well not to panic into massive announcements. I think they've done pretty well in general here in terms of their direction at the very least. You know, it's not particularly, like, it can't be too hard on them if people don't follow it, but I think they're waiting to see how the next week or two goes before they make any grand pronouncements. But I think a couple of managers have come out and said, look, do you know, we can't feasibly expect it to be going back training and then playing within a week or whatever. Like, and I think that is also fair enough. You know, again, I suppose, look, we can debate whether or not that's the truth of that assertion. But I don't think they're viable to be starting off in February at the moment. Just, I think we're probably going to need a little bit more time. You know, and, you know, look, the GAA, lads, like, it's a brilliant thing. Like I said, it was really, really good. I suppose, you know, the GAA for me, like, it's like the schools, like, you know, it can be ran off really safe and done really safely when the community's safe. And when the community's not safe, it can't be done safely and well. And that's when we have to say, right, this has to take a break. And then we go back to, like, we're not the Premier League. We can't bubble people. We can't, you know, cocoon people. So, like I said, if we can get the community safe, then, you know, by all means, fire ahead. Let's have games, because they are a lovely respite. I'd imagine by then, my beloved Manchester United will be back off our brief 4 days at the top. So I'll have to have something else to distract me. So maybe the pain of the Cork footballers will get me going then again.
I heard the Cork footballers are going to win the All-Ireland this year, Jamie. I heard there was no pain attached to that particular affliction. The pickup of the National League this year is going to be interesting, because it is different to the autumn last year, where I think we entered level 5 the day before the National League was due to resume. I think the key difference here is training. The teams aren't supposed to be training now, whereas they were training back then and they were good to go. Whereas now it seems that they're not supposed to be training and they're going to take a few weeks to actually get up to that speed. So I think you're right. I think we could definitely see a bit of a pushback. The one concern I would just have about this entire conversation as well is this idea of GAA entitlement and how there was still probably a bit of bad feeling about how a lot of club victories were celebrated in the summer of last year and the scenes that we saw all across the country. That idea would probably explode if GAA players were to be moved even one rung up the ladder of vaccination. This idea of GAA entitlement would probably become in the vernacular of many people around the country were that to actually happen.
We'd probably get something like, you know, like those German words, that really long German word that means something, that we'd probably get one of them ourselves, like in like you said, into the vernacular. No, look, and it's something that I am very wary of, and it's kind of what I was getting at when I spoke about, you know, the optics and the tone of it all. Like personally, I know there was a little bit of bad feeling about the whole thing. I do think, and this isn't, I don't want to get into a big massive defense of GAA clubs or, you know, like I'm on one side of the fence. Like, I think everyone recognizes that some of those scenes were wrong, but by the same token, I think a lot of those scenes were just reflective of the general carry on in the communities at the time. And like I said, like the GAA is just a kind of a reflection of what's going on in the world, you know. We were able to get through the entire summers, and like, do you think people weren't gathering after championship games in general? Like, Anyone that does know the GAA and that knows that, you know, there were gatherings by people after first rounds and second rounds and third rounds. The only difference is that when we were actually getting to that final stage, unfortunately, the country was in that position that you spoke about, where the communities weren't safe. And that's, you know, it was a perfect storm in that sense. But yeah, look, I absolutely agree with you. Like, I mean, look, I think, you know, aside from anything else, like, I mean, imagine like somebody that should be getting their vaccine to go back to work is told you have to wait a week now because we're vaccinating the lads to go out playing hurling. You know, it just in a year where everyone has been asked to make sacrifices, I think, and you know, some people have to varying degrees, I just think it would smack all around, to be honest with you. And that's, you know, it just for me it's not, the juice isn't worth the squeeze, you know. It's just it's like you said, we'd, GAA entitlement would forever go into the vernacular.
Jamie, good stuff. Thanks a million for joining us this morning. Cheers.
No matter, lads, all the best.
Jamie Wall giving us some thoughts there. A lot of comments coming in about that. Jamie Wall's a great talker. He never gets carried away, says Shane. And Isolt says, it's no shock to me whatsoever, but it's still so refreshing to hear Jamie Wall speaking absolute sense on OTB AM. A lot of angry response as well. This is a crazy argument. What rights have GAA players got to be bumped up the queue? GAA going to lose a lot of support over their behaviour during the crisis. A sense of entitlement beggars belief, says Alan in Kildare. Please don't talk about GAA players until at least teachers are up there, as kids need to go back to school, says Anne. Do people who are being put more at risk with travel, being in groups, etc., for our entertainment, not deserve to be bumped up, says Darren in Galway. And sure, most of the intercounty lads and ladies are teachers anyway, so they'll find themselves around phase 10. The vaccine rollout is something that we're all going to become much more familiar with. That supply chain conversation that Jamie was talking about there. We probably need a little bit more of that being reported on. We probably need the government to be a bit clearer on their messaging around that. And it looked like there was a bit of a squabble developing between the government parties yesterday when they were talking about this. So if they're squabbling about it, you can expect the rest of the country to be, you know, interested onlookers about the speed at which we're getting the vaccine out there. Because, you know, any good news at the moment would be seized upon rightfully.
100%. It's also going to be interesting to see what does happen in the UK, and the reaction to Sean Dyche's comments have been quite interesting as well. He obviously put forward the idea that Premier League footballers should be bumped up the queue a little bit to actually get their vaccine. If that is something that actually happens over there, you'd wonder what the knock-on impact is going to be over here.
Yeah, Dick Pound said that the Canadians wouldn't really mind that much if the athletes, like it's 400, you know, about 400 Canadian athletes getting vaccinated out of whatever the Canadian population is, tens of millions. He thought that there wouldn't be a national outcry for that. For GAA, it'd be about 1,200, I think, would probably get you through the bulk of the playing staff. And at the moment, 1,200 out of the 25,000 that we've done will be quite a lot. But maybe in 2 months, 3 months' time, when it's out of hundreds of thousands, it'll feel a little bit more, you know, like a conversation we could have. But anyway, the conversation has begun. 8 minutes past eight this morning, Wednesday, obviously, we're packed between now and 9 o'clock. We have Irish Olympian Natalia Coyle. We've got golf with John Duggan. Andy Mitten is going to join us at 8:15. We're going to talk about Alan Kelly next.
The OTB Podcast Network with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.